Well, hello there. Today is not Saturday, which is when we usually record these fishing reports. Today is, what day is it, Frank?
Wednesday.
No, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, October the 3rd. And Fish and Frank and I are sitting here, and we are going to record a place-by-place fishing report for you, such as it may be, because we don't know when Robert's going to be available to do one of these things. And even though he's much better at it than either one of us is, we're just going to have to suffer through.
Well, Robert's on the phone all the time. All he does,
he is a chatty Cathy.
Yes. And he's the one that calls, and all the captains call him. People call him.
He talks to
everybody. They come into the store. They talk to him.
Everybody knows him. Everybody likes him.
They all want to talk to Robert. So
nobody wants to talk to us.
No.
And that's fine.
Bubba Josh.
We understand.
I think they would like.
Well, I mean, I can't talk like this all the time. It drives me crazy, and my wife says she'll leave me. So.
You just got to put on the proper white t-shirt.
So I understand why nobody likes us and everybody likes Robert better. I totally get it. He is by far the more charming personality, and he's much easier to get along with than either one of us. So
okay.
I get it, but you don't have Robert. Robert went to Costa Rica. Now he's got bronchitis, so you get what you get.
An ear infection, and I mean, when Robert gets sick, he goes all in.
Yeah,
it's great.
He definitely does.
Let's see. We're on the Peace River, right?
That's where this thing usually begins, is with the Peace River, Harbor Heights, and upriver along with Shell Creek, and I know that because it's all typed right here.
Well, we've been doing reasonably well. There's been some snook up there. Not huge numbers, but enough to go out and play with, whether you're fishing in the canals, going dock to dock, casting under the docks, or out along the mangroves on some of the islands. There's a little bit of smaller redfish up there. We had some really nice redfish a few months ago, and they kind of just faded away, and now all of a sudden we're seeing the little ones, which is good, hopeful for the future. So a little bit of snook and redfish, haven't seen a lot. There are schools of tarpon up there, but they're really just in one place one day and another the next.
Are they really schools, or are these just like the gangs of juveniles?
Gangs of juveniles.
Yeah,
just the small tarpon that are growing up there. But up by the Shell Creek Dam, I guess we're going to get to that in a little while. We can do other stuff.
Okay. The Darce Park Boat Ramp I-75 Bridges area.
Redfish. There should be a bunch of snook there, but there is redfish there.
Where are they hanging out? Around the pilings? Around the trees?
If you're just going to go there and fish off the boat ramp, try and cast to your left along the edge there. It's hard to get all the way across, but if you can get all the way across, there are some redfish against that far shoreline.
Okay.
I-75, I have not got much. I don't have any reports from I-75. I know it should be there, but I don't know if anything is.
Well, that's always the thing, is what should be there and what actually is there. Sometimes don't mesh.
Yeah.
Hence the point of doing a place-by-place fishing report every week.
Yes, the 41 bridges, actually, hearing some mangrove snappers, a bit of trout. There is some snook fishing going on around the pilings, but your best bet is from 10 at night to 5 in the morning. Overnights are definitely better because the sound from the car traffic diminishes greatly, and the fish can actually hear a lure in the water. If you're looking for a sight-activated strike on snook, be it, you know, earlier in the morning, say 6, 7 o'clock, try a mirror lure TTR-11. The TTR-11 does have a rattle in it, but it's mostly going to be a sight-activated strike because it's white with a red head. And you got to twitch it. Snap it hard. Get it to dart. Cast it up by the pilings. When you see it hit the water, count to 5 and then start twitching it back.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Nah, a little bit more. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. That will get you down to the proper depth.
Now, don't count all the way to 5,000 from 1, because then you'll just be sitting on the bottom.
Yeah, but
for about 20 minutes.
If you can actually count to 5,000 from 1, God bless you. Good luck.
The Lashley Pier is still closed and expected to be closed for a while. That hasn't changed, so we're moving on to the Bayshore Pier.
I don't have any reports from Bayshore Pier. Now's the time when the fishing should really start to pick up there, but no reports.
I will make a note, though. Okay, the Port Charlotte Beach Pier.
It's been pretty good. There's a lot of snook around, and the trout fishing over there has been sporadic, but should get a lot better.
A lot better?
Mm-hmm.
Soon?
I would say this week or next, the trout fishing would pick up nicely there.
That sounds wonderful. The Port Charlotte Salt and Brackish Canals.
Don't have a lot of reports, just a bit of mangrove snapper and sand bream. The sand bream are bunched up for spawning right now, so it's a good time to get them. Sand bream are like a saltwater crappie. Wonderful to eat, but number six hooks, pieces of peeled shrimp meat work best.
I've been hearing about a lot of Mayan cichlids up there, too.
Yes, tilapia should be doing well, Mayan cichlids. Guy was in today. Morgan, when we get to the freshwater, remind me I do know something about the freshwater.
I'll ask the question just like I'll ask them all.
Okay.
That should help jog your memory, I would think. I would hope. Elder bean?
Elder bean has been pretty sporadic, but the snook fishing there is good. There's a couple of customers have been going out there late at night and just rocking the snook, casting parallel to the trestle. If there's no one on the fishing pier side, they'll cast it. Otherwise, they go over to the other side where there's nobody on it. But, some really nice snook coming off there. One of the better bets for actual slot-sized snook.
What are we throwing, a lipped plug, a topwater, a swim bait?
Yeah, the larger of the two crystal minnows that we have in stock, I forget what the number of them is, or the Rapala X-Rap 10 size. We're looking for a little bigger lure. We're not looking for the smaller ones that we would normally throw for quantity. This is all about snook, so bigger ones. You can use the bubble lures, the Strike King, but keep it something that goes 6 foot or less.
Okay. The remainder of the Myakka River area from the bridge down to Marker 8?
There's a little bit of shark activity out by Marker 8. I don't have a lot of reports except at Cattle Dock. A guy stopped there just because he was wondering what the heck it is, and there's not much left there. But threw a shrimp in, caught a nice redfish.
Okay.
So.
One redfish.
Yes.
But hey, redfish like each other's company, so if there was one, there's a good chance there's more, right?
Somewhere in that area,
Report if there's just one, and that was the only one. South Gulf Cove Canals.
I have no idea. Sorry.
No reports. The West Wall.
The West Wall is a mixed bag. Because of all the fresh water coming out of the Peace River and the Myakka River, your bait dies very, very quickly. And whether it's shrimp, white bait, pinfish, you got to keep them in a bucket with an aerator on it or a closed system. And if you can get into some of the mouths of much of the creeks, I mean, from Trout Creek, Oyster, Blowdown Creek, any of those, wonderful array of small to big redfish and mostly undersized snook. But there are a few of them, but snook are looking to get away from everybody. So the bigger they are, the more they're hiding. There's a couple of creeks over there that have a few holes in them, but they're overgrown by mangroves and stuff. I really think about taking a little nipper over there and trimming the trees back just to make a tunnel to go in and see how if there any of those big snook are back in there.
I'm sure they are. They've got to be somewhere, right?
Yeah.
The Cape Hayes Bar.
You got trout, some Spanish mackerel. There's actually a fairly good population of sharks there. And while I have not had any reports of it, there should be flounder showing up there this month. They like to hang out in the mouth of Muddy Bay and over closer to the sandbar up on the top. They like that 18 inches, 2 feet of water there. Little sand, little grass.
So we're hoping for flounder.
We're hoping for the flounder. I don't think if people have caught them, I think they're keeping it to themselves. But there should be some there.
Okay. Now, the flounder that show up here, which flounder do we get? Do we get the little Gulf flounder?
Yes, Southern Gulf flounder.
Southern Gulf flounder. Okay. But that's two different species.
Well, we get the Gulf flounder mostly.
Okay. Because I always ask, because now with the size limit on the flounder being bumped up a little bit, it gets harder to find keeper size if the Gulf flounder are what we're getting. Cause
it takes them longer to get that big.
Well, and a lot of them don't ever make it to that big. It takes a pretty good-sized adult to be 14 inches long, where with the southern flounder, southerns get a lot larger. I mean, that's the one that people brag about going out and catching.
We do get both of them here. Unfortunately, we have more Gulf flounder than southern, but we do get them both here.
Which are poorly named because Gulf flounder prefer estuaries where the water's brackish. We don't usually see them out in the actual Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pick the name.
You didn't?
Wasn't my idea. Turtle and Bull Bays.
Turtle Bay. Trout fishing's fairly decent. Get a good drift going. Use a tandem jig setup rather than a single paddle tail. Use the tandem curl tails. DOA makes a great one. We've got a Fish and Frank's model in here with double paddle tails. Cast it out, reel it in, lift your rod tip up, let it fall down. Lift your rod tip up, let it fall down. Make it go up and down in the water. Not darting, so if you're right-handed, keep the rod on the right side of your head. If you got the rod in your left hand, keep it on the left side. That makes the lure go up and down. Doing very good. Out at the mouth, a little bit of jacks out there, some trout, but better up inside.
We had an interesting thing on the Turtle Bay Bar a couple of days ago. We were fishing for the redfish that we knew were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Failed completely with the redfish. We're using big chunks of ladyfish. I hooked a couple of snook. I lost them both. I lost the first one because my braid got cut on an oyster. I lost the second one because of my own stupidity. I thought he had the bait, and he didn't have the bait quite yet, so I got too excited. But the weirdest thing was we caught two good-sized trout. One of them was about 18 inches, and one of them was a pretty big one, 23, maybe even 24. Both of them ate the bait and just sat perfectly still. We had
really?
No idea there was a fish on the line until we were like, well, this thing's been sitting there for way too long. Maybe it got eaten off by a crab or something. Go to reel it up, and there's a trout.
Yeah, I avoided the redfish because I did not. It's been so sporadic out there. You know, if they're there, it's a glorious day. And this is the time of year the big ones should be around. But they seem to be bouncing from there over to Boquilla, over to Burntstor, hanging out in the middle. These are not fish that are shore huggers, which go along the mangrove edges and all that. These are more deep water fish. So while I believe there's big schools of redfish out there, you're going to drift out in the middle for a long time to find them.
Yeah, and what was there around the bar was not the traditional big school of redfish like everybody hopes to see.
Mm-hmm.
It was two or three smaller pods of redfish.
Yeah.
So they almost look like mullet if you're not quite sure what you're looking at. If you see that little school of mullet cruise through, there's a pretty good chance that they're actually redfish. Moving on, Cape Hayes and Danger Reefs.
Don't know anything about Danger Reef. I don't have any reports on Cape Hayes Reef, sorry.
No reports. Hey, we knew that was going to happen because nobody likes to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound is trout, ladyfish, little bit of jacks, mangrove snappers. It's just about everything's in there right now. If you're going up in the canals in Gasparilla Island or out onto the flats over closer to the back of Turtle Bay there by Widden and all that, it's good fishing right now. There's redfish, there's snook, there's all kinds of stuff in the sound.
So what you're saying is this is a good place to fish?
Yes, but it's harder to hook fish there because you get if the wind calms down and that water clears up, they see you. And so this is a really good place for long distance casting. You know, the shorter you're trying to cast at them, the less likely you are to hook them. They're pretty spooky. A lot of people out there.
Well, and it's that shallow water, too. And while that water is still pretty dark, you know, in 2 feet of water, 3 feet of water, they see you pretty quickly. Moving on to Placida, the pier, the trestle, Coral Creek Pier, Gasparilla Pass, and any associated areas you care to mention.
Sharks out there by the pier, slash trestle, whatever. But that's the only thing I've heard of is some small sharks. You got anything else?
You know, I haven't, and it's kind of surprising to me that I haven't been hearing as many reports out of there with the Anger Pier being closed.
Right.
I would assume lots more people would be going to Placida, but I'm just not getting the number of reports out of there. And the last time I drove over the causeway, I looked over expecting it to be packed with people because the weather was nice, and there's like four people out there.
Yeah, God. I know there's got to be good fishing there, but I have no idea what it is.
What do we hear from Lemon Bay?
I got nothing in Lemon Bay.
There's the Inglewood Fishing Club not talking to you. Don't feel bad. They don't talk to Robert sometimes, too. Or if they do, they just bypass Lemon Bay and go fish Gasparilla Sound.
Anger Pier is closed, right?
The Anger Pier is closed, yes. So that makes it challenging. Moving on, Gulf of Mexico, what's going on out in the reefs and wrecks?
We got,
what about
the surface,
the little tunny? How's the little tunny doing?
Well, that's the Bonita.
How about the false albacore? How have they been?
That's Bonita.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The one thing that we have is false albacore, little tunny, Bonita. They're actually in pod schools. If you see something that looks like the water's actually boiling, and the boil can reach 2 feet above the surface, I mean, just literally from the amount of thrashing going on with these fish in congregated areas. But you see a big white patch, get up by it, drift into it, cast along the side, and small lures, pompano jigs, small Castmaster spoons or Castmaster types, doesn't have to be the brand, but that style. They're very heavy and they're very small. You want things that are less than 3 inches. And if you get up to 3, you'll catch a little less fish. By the time you hit 4 or 5 inches on your lures, you are not catching these fish. Got to be small, got to be heavy, because you're casting a long distance. If you want to get some blackfin tuna out of this, cast from along the side of the school, then count to 5 or 10 before you start to reel it in. Definitely want this bait 10, 15 feet below the surface before you start to retrieve it. Those tuna lay underneath the schools of the Bonita. So it's actually, they're there. I mean, going to be catching them.
The tricky bit is getting that thing to sink underneath those Bonita without getting a Bonita eating it.
That's why I'm trying to cast way beyond the school, but off to the side. I don't want my line dragging through that school. It will sound them down, they'll spook, and they may or may not ever come back up where you can find them. So don't let your line go through the school. Stay on the side. As far as bottom fishing, snappers, grunts on the near shore reefs, maybe your odd smaller grouper or something, but not a lot. You got to really get out their ways. We're talking 80 feet before we start seeing decent sized fish. 100, 120 is better. There is red snapper, American reds out there in that deep water, but they're 100 plus to get anything of size. And if you hit your favorite wreck or reef or whatever it is for your American reds and you don't get a bite, go to one you haven't been to in 2 years. The best bet is long forgotten stuff. Look back in your GPS and say, well, I haven't been there in a long time. Go to that one. Gag grouper. There's been some gags around, but they're still way out there, way deeper than they should be. But now the water's dropped several degrees, so hopefully by next week we're going to have this report change and you'll be able to go out 60, 80 feet and catch real nice fish.
Well, let's hope. And by the way, we have a change in our gag season. When they told us earlier this year that we were going to have a gag season that went until November 10th, I said, I don't think we are, because Red Grouper's closed and more people are going to be targeting gags. And so they have now come back and said gag are going to close early. October 18th will be the last day to go out and target gag grouper. And I don't know yet if the state is going to match that new federal regulation. We'll find out. This was just announced yesterday.
Well, it's no wonder, you know, people want to get rulers with, you know, measuring sticks and measuring tapes that have the rules and regulations on them and stuff. And in Florida, we do have a law that says they're only allowed to change the fishing regulations once a year. That is actually a law. But FWC does not have to abide by any laws, written, otherwise, or implied, so they just change them whenever they feel like it. So no one's producing rulers, measuring tapes, and all this other kind of stuff, because by the time it comes out, the laws are all different.
I've never seen that law anywhere.
It's actually, they passed it many years ago because they were doing what they're doing now, changing everything constantly. No one could keep up. And this is before the internet. So before the internet, there was no place to quickly look anything up. And they were trying to put out pamphlets and stuff like that. But Florida's always relied heavily on divine knowledge. God's going to come down and speak to you, my son. He is going to tell you the fishing rules. They will let you know when you're being illegal. Well, it didn't work very well.
The other fun thing that FWC does is they pass rules that say you have to do this. This is a prerequisite to do this other thing. And then they don't give you any way to meet the prerequisite. Like, for example, they added some new regulations at the Skyway Pier earlier this year that were going to take effect October 1st. Now, some of them were easy enough to follow. You can't have but single hooks on a lure. You can't use a sabiki rig. You can only fish with, I think it's two rods at a time. So that kind of stuff is relatively simple. But they also said there's now going to be an education requirement that everybody has to meet in order to fish at the Skyway Pier. The only people who are exempt are people who are under, I believe, the age of 16. Mm-hmm. Anybody 65 and over, even though you don't have to have a license, you still have to meet the education requirement. Well, they didn't issue anything letting people know how to meet this education requirement until they sent out a press release on, I believe it was September 27th, and said, here's the link, here's what you need to do to get your education requirement so that you can legally fish here at the Skyway Pier on October 1st. And anybody who doesn't do this in the next 2-3 days is not going to be legally able to fish here at the pier. And my understanding is that on the 1st, they did have officers out on the Skyway Pier issuing not warnings but citations to people who did not have proof of having met the education requirement.
Welcome to Florida.
That was issued 2 days before.
Actually, they rely heavily on divine knowledge that you are going to be able to perceive that 3 days before you need it, they're going to put up a website.
Yep.
I didn't realize Florida was this religious, you know, but God rules everything, and he will let everybody know what they intend.
If you think back, they kind of did the same thing with the land-based shark fishing requirement, where the they announced it, and then they announced the enforcement of it immediately afterwards, giving people very little time to actually go out and get this education that they needed to get. Not that any of it is difficult to do, but you got to let people know that this is something that needs to happen. I mean,
I was doing work for the federal government for quite a while, and I would go into places, and they would say, no, we can't put a sign or a marker up here. And I'm like, okay, but if somebody breaks the speed limit, you give them a ticket. Oh, yeah. I said, but how do they know? Well, everybody knows this. I said, I don't know this. I know it because I have a federal map that has your stuff on it. But if I didn't have that map,
right,
which I'm sure no one, not one other person in the state has it, how do they know? After they get a ticket, they find out they're supposed to go slow? Well, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm like, no, we're putting a sign there.
They'll hear from their friends who get tickets.
Yeah.
That's how they'll find out.
So,
don't
no,
get it.
It's just, like I say, Florida's very religious.
The Venice jetties and the Venice pier. Last I heard, the South Venice jetty is still closed due to some shifted rocks. They're trying to figure out what to do out there. Have we heard anything from any of these other areas?
Just some Spanish mackerel and a bit of once in a blue moon sheephead.
random sheep's head. My favorite kind of sheep's head.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody gets excited about them and thinks there must be a bunch of sheep's head.
No. It's in another month, you catch one, you should be able to catch a dozen. But from April through, October, it's just one here, one there, two here, two there.
Anything from Redfish Pass?
I have not heard a thing.
Somehow I was expecting that. Captiva Pass?
Last time I was there, it really sucked.
I'm just going to type no reports. How's that? Boca Grande Pass. That one we might know a little bit about.
Spanish Mackerel. Doing pretty good. Out along that 30-foot area on kind of the middle. Now, it used to be further off to the left, but further to the south. But that middle section at 30-foot, you can catch some pretty close to legal and a few legal mangrove snappers there. Should be. We just have too much fresh water going out.
There is quite a bit. We need to do something about that. Can you do anything about that?
I am.
Bring the river down? Have you put an end to the rain yet?
I have put an end to the rain for this week. I'm giving it a 5-day break and saying no more rain for 5 days. I have waved my magic fourth toe, and my fourth toe says no rain for a week.
You can wave your fourth toe? I mean, I can wave it. I just can't wave it by itself. Is that the problem? Is that why mine doesn't won't do the things?
Yes.
In fact,
If you have an individually moving fourth toe, you can control the weather.
I can only move my fourth toe by moving all of my toes. I'm looking at it now. This is the kind of stuff that gets me distracted. This is why.
It's why.
Somebody else really should be doing this.
Why I'm fishing, Frank. I have a individually movable fourth toe.
Walking the Gulf Beach. Is anybody doing anything in the surf? Still have some snook out there, or did they move away?
The snook have kind of moved away. You'll probably run into one here or there. But whiting are coming around, and some Spanish mackerel. Okay. We got to get some music for the background on this.
Well, you're supposed to sing like Robert does. Robert hums elevator music under his breath.
Really?
While I'm typing.
Good God.
I tried doing it.
I've actually got to listen to that.
No, he doesn't, actually. I've tried to get him to do it, but he won't do it. I've tried doing it, but the problem is that I end up humming it to the rhythm of the keyboard typing. Matt Lachey area, anything out of there?
Redfish. Yeah.
Would you care to expound on that, or is that just the one-word report we're using here this week?
Actually,
because I'm good with it either way.
There's not a lot of people have been telling me they're catching redfish down there, but nobody's willing to go into where and how. But redfish is the story from down there. You can make the assumptions for all the usual suspects, but I would probably say shrimp would be the best option. Even though right now it should be pinfish or whitebait, should be catching more of them. But I will lay you odds you're going to catch 5-1 on shrimp over anything else. I don't know why it is. It's just been that way for the last few months.
Does it have to be that way, though? Because I hate using shrimp these days. I mean, shrimp are great because everything eats them, but then shrimp are terrible because everything eats them.
Yeah.
And there's been so many things out there to eat them lately.
Yeah, I mean, between the puffers and all the small fish, even little grouper and stuff around the flats. So, but I can't say that's true because all I've heard is there's redfish there. That was just a statement of proclamation on my part.
Okay. Well, anybody can say anything. I think there's probably some cowfish down there, too. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Pine Island Sound area.
Pine Island Sound, again, like Gasparilla Sound, is actually very good fishing. There's trout, there's small sharks, there's mackerel. There is just a lot of fish in that area. And if there's going to be any of the larger tarpon left, you're probably going to find them in that lower intercoastal waterway. You see a lot of guys anchored up off the side of the intercoastal, braving the big boat wakes and stuff to try and hook those last few tarpon. bet. As you get back, just look for any kind of deeper water, whether it's around an island or out in the middle of the flats. Nice fish down there. And I forgot, there is quite a bit of redfish down there, too.
Schooling or singles?
Smaller patches. 3 to 5 redfish in a bunch. I know there's big schools of redfish around right now because history and everything says there's big schools, but I've only talked to maybe a couple people in the last 6 weeks that have seen big schools. Everything else has been just smaller little bunches.
Well, and I think what happens with that is that we've got so many people down here who've been told all this time that there's schools of redfish, schooling redfish. You want to get into schooling redfish because you can catch redfish after redfish. So a school of redfish, as soon as you find a school of redfish, fish that school of redfish. And they do it, and they break up the schools because they're doing dumb things like driving right on top of the fish and casting right into the middle of the school. And I think it's really affected our ability to maintain these schools of redfish because the fish are learning, hey, if you're in a big wad like this, somebody messes with you, so they break up into smaller groups.
Well, look at it this way. I'm on a little street, and from one stoplight to the next stoplight is less than an eighth of a mile. It could be measured in yards rather than anything else. And there's driveways for businesses at Jones Loop exit there. And a guy hits me. I'm stopped at a traffic light with all these other cars, and a guy runs into me at 30-some miles an hour. Never even thought about hitting the brakes. Just, oh, surprise, there's cars here. And I ran into the back of this big-ass Toyota Tundra. Oh, God. And you're telling me that they're doing dumb things while fishing for redfish? Give me a break. Oh, my God.
Probably what happened is he was trying to read your license plate.
No.
Figure out what it said. That's probably what happened. He got distracted by that.
Just never even noticed it. Just literally never saw me.
He saw the plate, and he was like, that can't possibly be the world-famous Fish and Frank, can it? There's no way that that's who it is. Oh, wait, brake pedal. And by then it was too late.
Yeah. No, he never even thought about the brake. But it was wonderful because he knocked out all his front teeth and some other stuff. He was bleeding all over. I was like, good for you, you know?
So, oh, boy.
But, you know, when you tell me people are driving up on a school of fish and instead of casting to the outside of the school so you can keep catching them, they cast right in the middle where they're hitting the line and the leader and the bait, everything all there and freaking out the fish. If you can run into a parked, stopped vehicle in a little area like that, I'm sorry, you're going to run into a school of redfish and just screw it all up.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people like that out there.
Elon Musk, I'm praying to you, bring on the self-driving car, sir.
Now, when I told you we needed the self-driving car,
I've always been up. From when I first heard about it, I said, no way. Then I got thinking about it and said, you know, if everybody had a self-driving car, I'm not going to lose so much money for accidents.
Right.
I don't have my neck and my back and everything all screwed up from people rear-ending me. So while I do not want one personally, I do drive slow and cautiously. I make everybody crazy because when I see a red light, I actually take my foot off the gas. I know that's stupid. That you can't possibly do anything but run all the way up and jam on the brakes so that you stop.
Not even sure if that's legal, Frank.
Yeah, you're not supposed to take your foot off the gas and coast up there.
I mean, the thing is, I've always been a Florida driver. You know, I grew up here, so it's on. When you are studying for your Florida driver's permit, it says that a green light is go, and a yellow light is pay attention and use caution, and also speed up. So you're supposed to, I think you get 15 miles an hour over the speed limit that you're allowed to legally go when the light turns yellow.
And the first 3 or 4 seconds of a red light
doesn't count. It's still yellow.
It's just a suggestion. Yeah. So, yeah.
Technically called an orange light.
Yeah, so that's what it is. Anyway,
Jug Creek Shoal. Bokelia. Let's see if we can get back on track here.
Mackerel.
Freaking doubt it.
Redfish. Oh, God, I can't remember what the other one was.
Does it have a stripe down its side? Because that's a snook.
Snook. Did it have a... possible up along the bank, but they're not out by the bars. No, there was something. I forget what it was. I can't remember. I know there's puffer fish down there to make you crazy, but probably cowfish.
I'm sure there's cowfish. There's got to be a cowfish or two.
Mm.
Good luck hooking one of those. Was it trout? Was it sharks? Was it jacks?
Was it ladyfish? Lost. Yeah, I know. It was something. I can't remember.
Was it baby groupers?
That might have been it.
The burnt store and two pines.
Again, small bunches of redfish, a lot of small snook, under slot, a few in the slot, and if you can navigate the Two Pines area and get back in there amongst some of the holes, there's some monster snook back there. I mean, truly monster stuff. Well over 40 inches.
Big, big, big. How many G's is that big?
Back there we go. In the way, way snook. Back.
Way in the way back.
We're talking Mr. Peabody
two
here.
Two Pines. Okay. I think I got all that spelled right. Okay, the East Side Keys, Cormorant Key, Back Bay Key, Sneaky Creek, Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor, and associated areas.
A lot of...
Robert gets mad when I mention all the places.
Why?
I don't know. It always seems to make him... It always irritates him. He gets irked.
Yeah, but... Well, Robert seems to be the nice one out of the bunch of us. He is irksome a lot. Holds a grudge way longer. I get mad, and I forget all about it. It never concerns me again. He's a little more internal with stuff. You know, people think, oh, Frank's really mad at me. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, yeah.
I have no idea
what we're talking about. Yeah. You know, I don't pay any attention to that. I get upset and get over it and
all
go
right.
on.
So the East Side Keys, Cormorant Key, Back Bay Key, Sneaky Creek, Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor.
A lot of smaller, medium-sized snook. Under slot is the normal, but there are some slot fish. One of the ways to do this is to start using a bigger lure. Now you got to go back to the musky thing where you're throwing a very large lure a lot in a long time waiting for that single large fish. One of the reasons people are catching mostly smaller snook is they're doing the logical thing and going for quantity, not quality. So an X-Rap 08, a small crystal minnow, a 3D fingerling, Balsa Extremes, all these little Rapala stuff. I mean, there's so many good lures, the DOA Cal Shads, that will provide you with numbers and numbers of fish. But if you're looking for those slot fish, jump up to 5-6 inch lures. If your lure is 5 inches to 6 inches long, you will catch less smaller fish. You're going to work more, but you will get those keeper fish out of there. Most of the people complaining that all there is smaller fish, they're throwing white bait, mostly smaller ones. They're chumming the water with them. They're throwing small lures. They're doing everything to catch smaller fish in quantity. But to get into that quality fish, you have to upsize your lure, eliminate all the goofy chum. You've got to get so you can interest that single larger fish. Slow down a little bit, bigger stuff.
And if you're fishing with natural bait, would you jump up to a thready, a big chunk of a ladyfish, something like that?
During the day, the cut bait's hard on those big fish. If you were catching 6-8 inch ladyfish, that would be a great bait for those single snook during the day. But I don't even know if there's any big enough thread fins around to interest those at this point.
Gotcha.
And the problem with it is they're scattered out. There's one here, one there. And throwing those baits, unless you have an area where you're really sure there's big fish there, you're going to kill a lot of bait, but you're not going to catch fish with it. It's just too much moving. You've got to constantly be moving until you find them. Go in an area, fish that. Give it a half an hour, go to the next area, give it a half an hour, go to the next area, give it a half an hour.
I wish I had heard any of that, but after you said the words 6-to-8-inch ladyfish, I just went off on a tangent in my brain about how amazing it would be to have a regular supply of 6-to-8-inch ladyfish.
Well,
what fantastic baits those are.
We're working on different baits with a fish farm. And there is, problem is that we were on track to do pretty good. Then the hurricane hit and wrecked a lot of their facility. Now we're back up to the point they've got 8 vats of pinfish working with about 30,000-40,000 pinfish in each batch. Now, most of those won't live to see the size that we can sell for bait, but it provides several thousand a batch, where they were doing 1 or 2 batches after the hurricane, just trying to get back into it. Mm-hmm. And it's 120 days from the time they hatch till they become big enough for bait. Mm. So it's a long process, but there are many other fish in the pipeline to start farming, and ladyfish is amongst those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you're probably talking at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I wonder how they transport. I don't know. I'm getting
If they're grown in a tank, they're fine.
Look, the important thing is we're in the middle of this place-by-place fishing report, and you need to stop getting me off track. We are at Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink.
You've known me for how many years? And at what point in all these years was I the one going, oh, we got to get back on topic? What did you say?
Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink.
I actually don't have any reports for there.
Okay. No reports. Ponce de Leon Park.
Again, if I hadn't been kicked out of the Psychic Friends Network, I could probably give you reports, but I haven't heard anything.
Okay. I'll just write no reports then. How's that? PGI Canals and the Punta Gorda area to include Elizabeth Park, the Barge Canal, and the Punta Gorda Nature Park.
There is a snook doing very well back up in PGI. Jack population is still good. And up in there, we've got some... This is the time of year I tend to go there to target Goliath grouper, because they have some big Goliath grouper under the docks. You're talking 20 to 60 pounds. And that's a great chunk bait thing. Piece of mullet. Ladyfish, doesn't really matter, Jack. They just want a big chunk of food, and you pitch it up under the dock, you give it 5 minutes, reel it in, go to the next dock, pitch it up in there, give it 5 minutes, go to the next dock. Doing the same thing snook fishing, except we do 3 to 5 cast with a bucktail jig or something similar. I don't like using multi-hooks on that, so I stay with the jigs. Can be a DOA cow shad, anything like that, but doing 3 to 5 casts under each dock, going to the next one. A lot of snappers there too, but most of them are small.
Most of them are way small.
Yep.
Do, do, do,
the itsy bitsy do, snapper do, do, swam up the canal. Mouth.
Gilchrist Park. I'm sorry, Gilchrist Pier.
Gilchrist.
Gilchrist
got,
area.
Got nothing.
Oh. Fine, then. Alligator Creek Reef.
I haven't been out there. There was mackerel on it, but it was a couple weeks ago with this cooler weather. Should be more, but I really don't have a recent report, just the last couple weeks.
Okay. The 20-foot holes.
Again, I don't know.
Well, that's okay, I do. There's been a lot of small sharks out there, about 1 billion catfish, and there are random tarpon around. But a lot of people have been disappointed who are going out there thinking that this is the time they're going to go catch bunches of tarpon and clean up on it, and it's just, it's not there in the numbers that they were expecting it to be. Okay, the baitfish report.
I haven't been out. I haven't talked to anybody catching bait.
The only place that I've been actually, I've seen bait there and I've had reports of bait there is out at the beaches. And that's not been really big stuff, but it's there. You could net it with a 1/4-inch net.
you have to net it with a quarter inch net.
Well, you could use an eighth inch net if you've got one.
I carry 3/16, but I'm having a hard time finding them now. I had a good source on them, then that dried up.
Okay, now here's the part where you wanted me to remind you when we get to the freshwater part that right. You had some reports for the freshwater part.
Well, Cecil Webb, bass fishing's good, tilapia fishing's great.
In the Big Lake?
I think so, yeah. The one with the three boat ramps on it.
Right? Yes, yep.
And the tilapia is pretty good all the way through there. The bass fishing's not bad. Zip and ziggy top waters to bangtail inline spinners. Both those have been working good out there. Back up in Port Charlotte, we've got guys fishing for bass. And there's several canals doing good, but nobody's talking about which canal. You're just going to have to, you know, lug around and find some of them. Anything that looks like a shiner is going to do really well, whether it's the Voodoo Mullet, the original Rapala Black and Silver, the Balsa Extreme. Doesn't really matter. There is so many fish out there. And people are starting to, frogs have always been a pretty big thing, fish in freshwater. But I've been teaching people that take a little WD-40 with you, or we have a bang spray. It has to be an oil-based spray. And spray your topwater frogs with it, and that way you can throw them right up in the weeds and work them back out real slow. If you don't oil the bait up, that plastic tends to stick to the plants too much, and you're having to jerk it, so you don't get the same effect as you do twitching it all the way slow through there. But there is... If you want to get into that drop shot, or where you're putting a heavy weight on and, you know, dropping it into the middle of the weeds and, you know, finding that bass underneath there, that was really good a week ago. But now the sun's coming out, the water's chilling off. So what you're going to be looking for is in the morning fishing the sunny side of the canals. In the afternoon, fish the shady side of the canal. But those fish, the water's just cooled off enough where in the morning they're going to be looking for that sunshine. They're going to be coming up close to the surface. They've been just hid underneath the weeds like crazy. But now they're starting to come up, get a little bit of that sunshine going. So, yeah. But anything that looks like a shiner, or if you want, we have domestic shiners. We have the big wild shiners as well. You can just use shiners. But a little more challenging is to get into the artificials that look like shiners.
Right. So if you're just getting started with it, maybe fish shiners. And then when you have some spots that you feel comfortable with, hey, this produces fish, then come back with your lures and make it a little more of a challenge.
That would probably be the intelligent way to go, but when did I ever do that?
Well, that's fine. Okay, the tarpon reports. We haven't really been doing much with the tarpon maps because it's been hard to find fish, yeah. But you Cape tell me what you got.
And Boquilla. Now, both of those have had very good schools of tarpon intermittently. I don't know where they're bouncing off to if they're not in those two, but you're going to check around Cape Hayes. You got to go slow. If you've got one of those side finders, it's helpful. But if you're slow and patient going around there, slow as your boat will go, you'll see something coming up, roll or gulp air if they're there. But it's about 20 minutes on each one of those spots. And going around Cape Hayes, you'll know how to do that. But if you're going to go over by Boquilla, there is a channel mark that goes between the sandbars to get you behind the bars in Boquilla. We do not want to go through the channel. You want to go off to the west or right, however you want to look at it, and staying in about 8 feet of water out there, and then slowly idle all the way around that bar looking for those fish, whether it's on a depth finder or literally visually seeing them. Now, if you go up the Peace River, the water treatment plant has had a bit of tarpon up there, but they're not actually in the water treatment plant. They're in the turn right before it across from the big sand flat. So they're just before the water treatment plant there. If they're not there, you go into Shell Creek and you go through the trestle, which have a 7.6 clearance on it. Then you go up under I-75, and when you make the left, you're going to go down a little bit and see a redneck campground on your left-hand side. From there to the next curve is, it starts out with about 8 feet of water, goes down to 14, 16 feet, and they're hanging out in there. If they're not there, you got to go up to the dam, because they are hanging out pretty steady up the Shell Creek Dam up there. And it's a wonderful ride up there. Even if you go, if you start at the Sansuchi Trestle, to go all the way to the dam at idle speed is less than a half an hour. So, great ride, beautiful scenery, and the fishing up there is actually pretty good at the dam right now.
Okie dokie. Well, that takes us through the end of all the places. Did you have anything else that you would like to add to this report, or anything that you just can't not say?
Actually, it's early for me. If we were doing this at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd be better. But I've already been, I had to go to the follow-up from the car accident, and they did all the x-rays. Now they want me to have an MRI, and then I had to go down, and I got all kinds of stuff going on. So, but this'll do for now.
This'll do?
This'll do.
Okay. Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do, and that's say goodnight, Frank.
Okay. You don't use any of my intros and outro music or anything anymore.
No, I don't. I gave up on it.
Why is that?
Robert's hard enough to deal with.
Oh, okay.
I can't deal with all the rest of that.
All right.
Are you going to say goodnight, Frank?
Good day, Frank.